And it's back to school, the middle of the week already. How does that happen? We're at Marion Local, and I want to thank Winners Meats, Chickasaw Quick Stop, Corner Cafe, along with TNT Auto, Ligers Insurance, Hulsman Automotive, Holman Incorporated, and then the St. Henry Bank, Cobb Pharmacy, and Hall Brothers. With us is Marion Local School Superintendent Mike Pullman on the program. And I think, first of all, Mike, welcome back. And, thanks for having us. We're off to a great start to the week already. We've had great guests, including some people we'd never talked to before. In some cases, we got to talk to them longer than we normally do, so we hear more of their story. So I think, I'm hoping the community, the Marion Local community, is enjoying this so far, because it's been great, you know?
Yeah, it has. We tried to get, a diverse group of just students, teachers, staff members on the show, just to kind of display what they do. And, there's a lot of just different things that make up Marion Local. I think a lot of people just think, it's classrooms filled with teachers and students, but there's a lot more than that. You got to look at it as an entire community working together, just, supporting the growth of every child, however they come to us. We have bus drivers, custodians, support staff, coaches, families, all working together that play a vital role to create a safe and educational environment. And it's just great that our listeners today that, we're having WCSM here working remotely from our district, that they can get a glimpse of kind of what takes place within our school district.
Mike, Friday the 13th is never good luck. This was a very bad Friday the 13th we just had. I'll let you take it from there. That was incredible.
It was interesting. I am definitely not a superstitious person, so I think that could have happened on any day. But a lot of people have said that probably has to be the first time in Marion Local history that we had to cancel busing, due to wind or just for any reason. Unless they had to back in 1978 for the blizzard, I don't know. I first received a call from our fire chief, Joe Hardings, and he just mentioned, hey, we're having a lot of problems from wind in the area. Should we take anything into consideration about having our buses on the road? And, I kind of thought about it, but, I wasn't 100% sure what the wind rating was on a school bus. But, I knew they were having problems with semis, box trucks, things like that. And then a little bit later, I received a call from Sheriff Timmerman, and he kind of started discussing the same thing with me. And he said, hey, it's strictly a recommendation, but ultimately it's your call. So I didn't have much time, but took a little more time and just kind of spent some time with Tony Stahl, the superintendent for recovery, and Adam Putoff, the superintendent at St. Henry, and plus just talking to Kelly Toby and Tim Goodwin and just saying, what are your thoughts? I mean, whatever decision we make, there's going to be some dominoes that are going to fall. I mean, we're going to have to work hard to communicate with parents if we do cancel busing, but, ultimately, student safety is of utmost importance, so... We made the decision and
Mike, a lot of times my job is supposed to be, report the news, tell everybody what's happening, but I really want to have your back on this one. You, all the officials, that was the right call. It was, the wind was horrible. Those are high profile vehicles. We don't want buses tipping over. There was no other decision. I think you guys did great.
Yeah. Well, thanks. We appreciate the support and, but after we decided to shut transportation down for the afternoon, you kind of go into a different mode, and we know by no means was it perfect, but the response when you have adversity and you see the response of your staff and community, it just makes you proud. They were awesome. I watched staff members assemble students, organize cars in the parking lot. They ran to go find students from running inside and outside. Parents were just so patient as they waited in line because there were cars backed up.
Oh, yes,
I'm sure. 119, 716, there's not much we could do about that. I don't ever want to repeat that scenario again. But for me, looking back on it, boy, it gave me a great feeling about the people I work with, And just the students here that are educated, and just the community, and how much they supported us in that time of need.
That was, you find out what you're all about in crisis situations, and I think you found out in the positive on that one.
Correct. Like I said, I don't want to do it again, I was just really happy with just how everybody reacted so professionally and understanding.
And I think that also goes back to something we've talked about before. What a year. This weather's been nothing less than wicked. And unfortunately, I understand there was some wind damage. The school was not spared.
Correct. So it was right after I made that decision to cancel transportation. Our athletic director, Dan Koenig, and one of our maintenance guys, Kevin Nagel, were going to just move some buses for us. And next thing you know, I got a phone call that said, our elementary rubber roof is bubbled up and it's getting ready to blow off. So I quickly ran out there, and we sustained a lot of damage. Thankfully, not the new construction. Everything is fine there. No damage. Everything was good. But with our existing elementary, we had some damage there. And thankfully, Cotterman Roofing, they came out instantly just to secure it so no other damage would happen. And then they came back on Saturday morning and brought a crew and did like a little bit more of a temporary fix. And when you have these cold weathers on that rubber membrane roof, it needs to be warmer for you to work with it a little bit more. So, it was a struggle, but we got it secured and temporarily fixed. So just so there's no water, leaking into the existing, classrooms. But the plan now is just to work and see what we can do this summer to get the permanent fix.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but in your notes, you're talking about as much as you spend time with educators and kids, also contractors, right?
Yes. It is shocking. Nobody can really prepare you for a superintendent or principal's job. You can be fixing a flush valve on a toilet one day to dealing with an insurance person, contractor, or meeting with families and teachers.
Yeah, excellent. And so, we talk about the facility. That process has been moving along quite nicely. And I understand, even with all this fun weather we've had, you're still on time, right?
Yeah, correct. It's just shifting work. And I really appreciate our job site superintendent, Roland Fox from Touchstone. He's just done a great job of kind of coordinating that work. And for example, the block layers, if it's too cold and they can't do anything outside, they have things to do inside and they just go back and forth. Sometimes installing roofing materials because of the high winds or cold temps just isn't going to happen. But, they've been great with coming on and off site also. But, currently, the painters are they're making their way throughout the building. They started taping and mudding the drywall in the central office. Electricians are pulling wire, hanging cable trays, installing lights throughout the facility. A lot of the windows have been installed. So much is just dependent on each other. Like certain things can't be done until the masons are at a certain area. You're starting to see a lot of things take shape, like some of the exterior block veneer on the building. So you can kind of start seeing the color of what the building will look like on the outside. And everything is still on time and projected to be completed by July 17th. So we're excited.
I bet you are, because that's a project that was a long time coming. And you can't just do a project like that. There's community meetings, there's discussions. Yep. What do we want? What should we do? And that's quite a process. So when you cut that ribbon or whatever you do to get it going, that's got to be satisfying, isn't it?
It will be, just because of all the hard work of a lot of people and a lot of vision of the task force that we had, those 40 members that started developing this plan with us. It will be a very good feeling when we do cut that ribbon and kind of occupy the building and just seeing the fruits of the labor of a lot of people.
Now, that'll be a special ribbon, right? The right colors. It can't just be yellow, you know? No.
Yeah, we'll come up with something, but I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I probably need to start thinking about getting that on order.
We're glad to help. Yeah. And then finally, we talk about staffing. You know, this is the time of year. You know, we're getting close to the end of the school year. Retirements, et cetera, have been turned in. So, you know, that's a pretty much also a part of your job every year, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, currently we're looking for a high school business teacher and a Spanish teacher. So anyone listening, if you are interested or if you know someone that is interested, I am pleading with you to contact Mr. Tim Goodwin, our high school principal. But yet, you know, a lot of you might be listening and saying, well, I'm not necessarily a licensed Spanish teacher or business teacher. Well, the Ohio Department of Education workforce does have some alternative routes to maybe teaching Spanish or even business. Like, for example, Spanish, you know, you'd have to obtain an alternative educator license. Maybe you hold like a bachelor's degree in something else, but if you're very fluent in Spanish, you can pass like a Spanish oral proficiency interview, do like a writing proficiency test, and then do some other intensive training. Not necessarily going back to college for 4 years. It's nothing like that. But, you know, just some other extensive training. You can go through the alternative path through Ohio to obtain Ohio teaching license. So,
excellent.
And we can, you know, there are certain situations where you can put a teacher to work maybe while they're on an alternative license, and then it turns into like a 5-year professional license later. You know, you can put them to work and have them teaching. So, you know, anyone out there, if you're just, maybe that's a career goal, but you didn't take the normal route to become a teacher, but you want to look into that, you know, check in. Call the Ohio Department of Education. Well, check in with us.
I was going to say, I know we've got to have somebody or some people that are listening in the audience that are bilingual and might have that desire to teach, and that's who should call you.
Correct. And also for our business education job. You know, there might be somebody that's been working in the business industry for a handful of years, and, you know, there are career tech license out there. You know, there are certain teaching fields where you can get like career tech certified, and that would be one of them. And so if you want to go to an alternative route for the business teacher too. So there are options, just kind of encouraging people to look into it. And if you've ever said, hey, I think I want to teach.
We have there are instructors at TriStar, for example, that had a lot of experience in their field. They're really good at what they did, but they didn't necessarily set out to be teachers.
Correct. You know, whether it's the construction field, welding, robotics, whatever it is. I mean, I would say probably 90-whatever% of the teachers at TriStar, you know, have gone that alternative route. And because of that, you know, I was earlier in this broadcast, I was talking about how I just network with other area superintendents. You know, you better believe I network with Tim Buescher a lot also.
Sure.
For situations like this. He does this every year. For somebody like me at Marion Local, I don't do this every year. It's just once every so often you need like a career tech certified teacher. Well, I do. I go to Tim Buescher and say, walk me through this. Help me.
And, you know, another thing, too, it's always fun to remind people of your background. We had a lot of fun this week finding out that you and Mrs. Bruns went to school together. You were born 3 days apart. You grew up together. And, and here you are both working in the district. And that really sums up Marion Local, doesn't it?
It does. And I guess the ironic thing is we were both hired back at Marion Local the same year also.
How about that?
Yeah. So, yeah, my parents were leaving Mercer Health, and her parents were coming in when she was delivered or whatever. So, yeah, it was the blizzard, the mini blizzard of 1977.
How about that?
And so, yeah, my parents struggled getting to the hospital, and so did hers, but then when we were exactly 1 year old, then all of a sudden the blizzard came.
Big one. I understand that too. It was cold out when both of our kids were born, and it's like, gosh, we should have done this in the summer. You wouldn't have that the road conditions of that. But I'm glad they made it, and glad you both have been on today, Mark. Yeah. Always great to catch up with you, and how much fun we're going to have when that building is open and ready to be used. You know, we'll be all over that.
That's perfect. For sure.
I want to take a moment and Back to School resumes here at 96.7 The Wave, and we are thankful to our sponsors who include Home and Incorporated, Huelsman Automotive, Legas Insurance, and TNT Auto. We are going to talk to our guidance counselors now, Jenny Dippold and also Jordan Tribute. Jenny, Jordan, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Let's start, we'll start with Jenny. First of all, share with us, if you would, your background. Talk about where you came from and what kind of got you to this point of being a guidance counselor for the high schoolers.
Sure. So I started out as an elementary teacher with Salina City Schools back in 1999. I worked there as a teacher for a few years and then received my master's in school counseling from the University of Dayton and just felt a call towards doing more with students, social, emotionally, and character education. So I worked as a K-4 counselor for a few years before making the big jump to high school here at Marion Local, and I have been at Marion Local for the last 15 years.
Outstanding. Jordan, how about you?
So I also started as a teacher. I started as a high school teacher, actually at Sydney City Schools, and then from there I taught at New Bremen for 9 years, middle school. And similar to Jenny, I just decided that working with individual students and connecting with individual students was more of my thing. I had a lot of students that would come to me outside of class, and there were certain things I didn't know if I could help them with as a teacher. And that made me kind of want to take the next step and get my master's for that. School counseling.
And how long have you been here at Marion Local?
This is only my second year.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, let's kind of get into something I think, certainly a lot of fun to talk about, because I understand next week has been designated Hope Week here at Marion Local. So for either one of you, can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah. So we started a Hope Squad here at Marion Local, oh gosh, I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And the goal of Hope Squad is to teach kids about mental health awareness and suicide prevention. So every year we have a week that we call Hope Week, where we plan activities throughout the week to give kids a break from their regular school day routine. We do things like this year we're going to play bingo during lunch. We're going to have a petting zoo. We do sidewalk chalk activities, which seems a little juvenile for high school, but you'd be surprised at how much they like to do those
Yes.
The little things that they used to do when they were, young kids. So it's just time to spend together having fun outside of the classroom. One of our big events next week is we will end the week with a Hope Walk, which we are going to be doing with our 7th and 8th graders. So. Mm-hmm. Jordan and her kids are going to be joining in too, where we're all going to go outside to the tracks, spend some time walking, listening to music, just encouraging movement, because we know that the more you move, the better it is for your mental health.
Outstanding.
The only thing I wanted to add, in addition to what Jenny said, at the K-8 level, we are also doing during Hope Week a canned food drive.
Nice.
Just canned food and non-perishables and donating it all to Rustic Hope. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, for the two of you, we'll begin with our elementary counselor first. Of course, mm-hmm. You know, when I hear that bell, I want to get up and go to my locker.
Yeah, right.
Brings back
right.
memories. But what I wanted to ask you is, what are your main, duties, as counselor in elementary?
Sure. One of the main ones, I do go into classroom lessons every grade K-8 once a month. Just to teach different skills, strategies for social, emotional, and some academic skills as well. And then I do a lot of individual counseling sessions, usually referred from teachers. So for social, emotional stuff, and then also academic, just classroom support kind of things. And then I'm a Hope Squad advisor. And yeah. That's pretty much it.
Always, when we kind of remember growing up, one of the things our counselors would help us with would be to kind of sit us down and say, okay, here are the credits you need, how are your grades going, mm-hmm. Let's put something together so that you actually can graduate someday.
Yes,
but it seems we've kind of moved on. That's still there, but also a lot of mental health, mm-hmm. Emphasis. And I'm sure even in the elementary years, you see some things.
Yes, and actually being new here, it surprised me, how much that need has grown. Just from when I was in school,
That's good.
And, yes. I was going to say for sure. I think that especially in these small communities, they think everybody is the average, you know, happy-go-lucky, no problems. But I think people would be surprised at some of the things that kids are struggling with that they don't show or that they share because of the stigma surrounding mental health.
I was going to say either we're in the workplace or we're in school, what have you, and you're coughing and somebody's like, are you okay? And you say, I think I'm going to go to the doctor. I can't get rid of this cough. But, you know, you're not going to tell that same person, well, I think I might have depression. I'm going to go talk to my family doctor about it. And yet, you know, I mean, we shouldn't think any differently, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's that fine line too. You know, some kids, we're all going to be sad once in a while. We're all going to be mad from time to time. And that doesn't mean that you're depressed or that there's a mental health issue. That's just called life, you know?
Yes, it is.
It's when those feelings are with you day after day after day, you know, that
you know,
there's more cause for concern. And educating the kids about the difference.
And how about, we talk about, like, you know, maybe your big challenge as a counselor, some of the things that are really hard to do.
I know for me, from the high school end, when I think about when I started 15 years ago until now, I think the biggest challenge is meeting the needs of the kids because the kids aren't available like they used to be. Our school day is no longer a typical 8-to-3 day. Kids have so many choices with the work release program, taking college classes, going to TriStar, which are all great things for our kids, but our kids are sometimes only here at school for a small window of time. So there's all these things you want to do with them, educate them about, and you just can't do it because there's not enough time in the day to do it anymore. Or they're not here when you're ready to grab them to do something.
And Jordan, how about for you, some of the challenges?
I would say similar to Jenny, but it is, I would think, juggling all of the different duties, making sure I reach all of the students that I need to throughout the day without interrupting, you know, the academic schedule so much. The other thing that I have found, and I mean, this is only my second year, is just it does take an emotional toll, like, you know, having the students' backs and supporting them all of the time and just being empathetic all of the time. Like, it does sometimes go home with me, and I think that's a little bit different than teaching. So, I mean, yeah. I still love it, but it's definitely a different kind of emotional.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's a job you love, but you're also called to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you want to do. And, you know, for your own challenges, I mean, you have people that are trying to graduate. I'm sure there's some stress or what's next in my life? What's going on here, right?
Yes. You talked about some of the duties that we do as counselors. I know in the high school level, like, one of the biggest worries for high school kids, even starting out freshman year, is what am I going to do when I graduate? So again, you try to spend time and educate the kids when they're here, but they also have to be willing to hear it and to go out and explore to figure out what they want to do. So we do a lot. We have a career day every year that the students participate in. We really try to encourage job shadows, which is stepping out of the kids' comfort zone, but thankfully, we have a great relationship with the Mercer County ESC. Sandy Holheide is the career navigator there, so she has been immersed in our schools for the last 4 or 5 years.
She is great.
I just want to say we've
interviewed her, and she's wonderful to talk to.
Huge asset because, you know, we're also doing things like doing the master schedule, asking students what classes they want, course requests. You're meeting with them individually for mental health needs, so Sandy has come in and really helped fill a need in our school that I felt like I was really lacking on fulfilling. So, yeah, she's been great.
I was going to say, for both of you, I'm sure you agree, what a fun time it is to graduate, right? And there's so many things you can do if you've just graduated from school, right?
Yes. And our community is wonderful about letting kids come in and see what they do in their jobs and spending time with the kids. Again, it's like getting the kids to step out of their comfort zone. Like, we require it their sophomore year to do a job shadow, because if we didn't, I don't think the kids would ever do it. So, yes.
And you know, I hate to, you know, sound like an older person, but I guess I am. But you have to step out of your comfort zone or you can't grow. And
For sure. It
is not fun to step out of your comfort zone. It actually can make you very anxious, nervous, even shaky. But all of those are probably signs that you're doing a good thing, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Something like that, right?
Yes.
I want to
yes.
thank both of you for being on today and the hard work you do for these kids. I know it's appreciated, and it'll pay off someday. This is your third year?
Second
year. Mm-hmm. And so when you have in as many years as Jenny, you'll start to get people messaging you and writing you saying, thanks for your help. This is what I'm doing now. And Isn't that what it's all about?
That is what it's all about, mm-hmm. for sure.
So thank you both for being on.
All right, Kevin, in 5, 4, 3.
It's back to school here at Marion Local. I am Kevin Sandler, your host. I want to take a moment and thank our wonderful sponsors that include Hillsman Automotive, Legos Insurance, TNT Auto, The Corner Cafe, Winner's Meats, and the Chickasaw Quick Stop. Ryan Goldschmidt is here. He's Marion Local's treasurer. Ryan, first of all, good to have you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Because I wanted to begin by talking about your background. You're a Fort Laramie guy originally, right?
Yeah, I graduated from Fort Laramie, went to Wittenberg University for my bachelor's in business, got a master's in education from Urbana, and started out in the trucking industry working for a company in Sydney, got into insurance for a handful of years, so kind of worked the business field, and decided about 10 years ago I wanted to get into education, so I was a teacher at Fort Laramie for 9 years prior to this, and now I've been here going on almost 2 years.
All right, and for your family, keeps you plenty busy. You got a wife and 5 kids, I understand, right?
Yeah, wife Julie and 5 kids. We had 4 boys and a girl, so they're ages 16 to 7 and keep me very, very busy. Yeah.
Is the girl the youngest one?
She is.
Well, there you go.
She's the queen.
Got built-in protection. Her brothers
right.
will look out for her. That's great. You know, and you kind of talked about some of the other things you did. But you've been here, we're coming up on 2 years, right? You started in May, but you took over in August.
Yeah, so I was hired in May and sat with the current treasurer at the time for a few months there to learn the job. I was new to the treasurer field. Like I said, I came from teaching, but sat with her for a handful of months. And August 1st, 2024 is when I officially took over and haven't looked back.
That's great. You know, we talk about what you're responsible for, and I have to tell you, that's a daunting list. Everything from financials to payroll, it's all there, right?
Yeah, pretty much anything financial here goes through our office, you know, from budgets to forecasting, securing insurance for, you know, you talk about the windstorm this past week, making sure we have the insurance on the buildings and that. We work with grant funding, real estate taxes, a little bit of everything, and then I have an assistant treasurer, Katie Heitkamp. She handles kind of like payroll and accounts payable. So, a little bit of everything.
I know it's all important, but I have to think that, you know, getting everybody paid and also paying all bills is at the top of the list.
That is at the top. Payroll is the one thing. You miss that and you're going to hear about it.
Yes, that's for sure. And then we talk about state funding. And this is one thing when we talk to treasurers that we ask, you know, to explain it because for a lot of people, they learn, you know, when you explain some things.
Yeah, so, you know, state funding is very complex, and right now there's a lot going on in Columbus with it, with property taxes and the way they want to fund schooling when it comes to public and privates. But basically, our funding is a mix of state and local funding. So the state funding is basically through a formula, a lot of factors, including enrollment, property values, things like that. However, that state funding doesn't necessarily cover our whole cost, so we rely quite a bit on local funding as well, usually in the form of property taxes and income taxes. Currently, our revenue sources, the state funds about 54% of our revenues here at Marion Local. So a little over half, that number has slowly been decreasing. It was over 60% a handful of years ago, but as state funding has changed, that has slowly made its way down towards 50%. Our real estate taxes take up about 35% of our revenues, income taxes 6%, and everything else about 5%. So as you can see, state funding and taxes, real estate and income taxes are pretty much our revenue.
And I know there's a lot of legislation being talked about, but I'm sure for you that there's a holding pattern there, right? It's not really known what they're going to do.
Correct. Yeah, it seems to change day to day. I mean, there's legislation out there currently that go anywhere from limiting increases in property taxes to the formula for how we're funding, what that formula is based on. It also looks into you know, they're looking at the way we can offer benefits to our administrators or our teachers. So just a lot of things going on. So as a treasurer, you kind of sit around and try to forecast the next few years, but you really don't know what's going to happen next week. So it becomes kind of daunting looking at those things.
And also some of the bigger challenges, you know, as you have to consider revenue, certain things like utilities, fuel, et cetera, that doesn't stay the same cost.
Correct. Yeah, the whole time as your revenues are changing, your costs aren't really stopping. They're increasing year to year, like you mentioned. You know, our expenses, a majority of our expenses come from our staff. About 55% of our expenses come from our salaries and 23% from benefits. So that makes up a majority of our expenses. But those have not changed, and those are constantly going up with inflation and things like that. So, you know, with expenses going up and state funding being unpredictable, it's very important that we plan for our future. You know, not just looking at this year, but looking out 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And what does that mean for us? And making sure that we're not going to get caught by any surprises that that we're not prepared for. So
I know a lot of that is, you know, for a lot of people, you know, staying financially stable, isn't that everyone's goal, right? But especially here.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, when you're dealing with public money and your community and the support that you have, you want to make sure you're financially stable. Really, for us, it comes down to three things: planning, discipline, transparency. So, you know, we're constantly reviewing our spending and looking for inefficiencies, trying to find the best way to make sure every dollar is used to support the kids. Communication, you know, we're always talking with our board. We're trying to communicate to the community what we're trying to do and why we're spending the money we are, or why we need the money we do. And then obviously with the planning, it comes down to the forecast that we have to submit twice a year. So those forecasts are done now in February and August. They used to be October and May, but they've changed that on us. And basically with that forecast, we're looking out 4 or 5 years. And the first 3 years of those forecasts generally are pretty pretty accurate for the most part. We know a lot of things, but once you get past 2, 3 years, there's a lot of assumptions that come into place. I mean, our biggest revenue source, I said right now, is the state revenue, and the state only sets their budgets every other year. So it's a biennial budget. So we only really know kind of what we're looking at for a 2-year period. So outside of that, our largest revenue source is completely unknown. And same thing with our expenses. I said our largest expense was salaries. You know, we negotiate with our teachers every 3 years. So it's a 3-year contract generally on how we're going to pay their salaries and benefits. So outside of those 3 years, you know, currently we negotiate next spring. So I only really know 1 year from now what we're going to be paying our teachers. So, you know, there's a lot of variables to go into it, but, you know, we do our best to try to make it as transparent as possible.
All right. And then also when you hear about the construction project, everyone's excited. Should be done by mid-July is the goal. Still on, you know, on schedule. But, you know, from the treasurer's aspect, what's your role in that?
Yeah, I mean, basically my role in that is the finances, making sure we're on budget and staying to the course of what we intended the project to be. You know, obviously with something this big, we're looking at investing into the future of our students and community. So it's important that we stay efficient and offer the most modern learning spaces we can for our students. You know, it's all funded currently through basically a joint property and income tax that we passed a few years ago. You know, we try to be very intentional with the spending of our money and maximize the value of every dollar.
Excellent. And so, you know, obviously the schedule, how important that is, and accountability. But, you know, you talk about you work with on the projects, right? The administrators and, you know, Garmin Miller, et cetera, Touchstone, you all work together to get it done and stay on budget and on time.
Yeah, when you have a project like this, you know, it takes a lot of teamwork. There's a lot of pieces and parts and schedules that need to come together. You know, and we have a wonderful team of administrators and supervisors here that we are constantly meeting, talking over the next step of the project, the next decisions to make when you're building. And like I said, as you mentioned, we've leaned on Garmin Miller quite a bit. They've been a great partner in the design of things and making sure we're getting what we asked for. And the group at Touchstone, our lead project company, has done a wonderful job of really keeping us in the loop on everything that's going on and making sure that we're getting what we want and that we're going to be in it and ready for next school year.
All right, and you know, as we look ahead, you're in a wonderful place financially, right? You just want to stay there,
right? Yeah. We are doing very well financially, I would say. You know, our goal is just to stay conservative and purposeful in our spending as we try to corral the state funding piece. We've also put together a wonderful capital improvement plan since I've been here to kind of look at future big costs, and so that way we're not surprised when we have to replace a roof or a parking lot, or you know, a chiller goes out, things like that. So, you know, trying to build that big picture down the road of what may be coming, and make sure that we're ready for it when it happens.
Excellent. And then, you know, we talk about you know, debt, and what's neat is your only debt is tied to the building project, and that's pretty understandable, obviously.
Yeah, yep. And I think, you know, obviously they've done a wonderful job over the life of the school, you know, for years, being fiscally responsible, and that's led to the only debt needed is this new project. It's a large project, and you know, the community was wonderful enough to pass the levies and agree that we needed it. So yeah, we have that 30-year. We have a bond and a COPS loan that we have out there for 30 years. And obviously if we do things the right way and stay fiscally responsible, hopefully we can get those paid off a little earlier.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Right.
And so, hey, just like everybody has a mortgage, and it's generally about 30 years, that seems pretty reasonable.
Right.
Yeah, it does. You know, also talk about your budget. You get a temporary one approved every year in June, and we're coming up on that.
Yeah, yeah, we've started the budget process now. You know, every spring we kind of get together as an admin team and discuss, you know, what are our needs for the next school year? You know, where does the money need to go to make sure that the kids have what they need to be successful? And by June, then I will have a budget kind of set for next school year that we will submit to the state as what we call a temporary budget based on, you know, past numbers. And then later on in the fall, around September time, the first couple of months of our fiscal year starts July 1st, but we start getting a better idea of what some of the costs are going to be, how many students we're going to have, and that type of thing. And it leads to a permanent budget in September that then, you know, we work together all year to try to make sure that we stay on top of. And you know, obviously it's not a black and white line, but, you know, we do our best to try to stay within those limits and do what we can.
So, you know, we talk about your experience, what it's been like. You're newer to the role, but, you know, how has it been for you so far?
Yeah, it's definitely been a learning experience. Like I said, I was new to the treasurer role coming out of the classroom, so I understood education. But the school finance side of things is definitely a whole different animal. But it's been very rewarding. I'm super happy. I really picked an interesting time to enter school finance. However, it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the people I work with. The people here have been very welcoming, and it's been a good fit. You know, what really stands out to me about Marion Local is from staff to families, community members, there's just such a pride and investment in their schools. You know, they yes. want their schools to be good, and they're not willing to, you know, they're not afraid to back it in a financial way and in a support way and all that. So, you know, my goal in this role is really just to build on being responsible and transparent and focused on what's best for our students. At the end of the day, you know, we talk about budgets, building, funding, all that, but everything comes back to supporting kids and giving them the best opportunities we can.
And, you know, some problems are good to have. The construction project is the result of growth, right? Yes. It's a great thing.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. It has brought a lot of meetings and time commitments to us as a group here, but like you said, at the end of the day, it shows that we're growing. It shows that we need space, and when many schools are not growing, actually going the other way, you know, it feels good to have an area that's thriving, and people want to be here and want to be a part of it.
Oh, right, Ryan. Thanks again for being on. We enjoy getting to meet you, and good luck continued. Good fortune in your role as treasurer.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're back to school at Marion Local. I'm Kevin Sandler, your host. Thank you to T&T Auto, Corner Cafe, and Chickasaw Quick Stop, along with Winners Meats. And we're going to meet, we have Jacob Sherrick, and also we're going to meet Layden DeLauder. And they're both here. And so we want to, you know, Jacob teaches math, and he coaches football and basketball. Layden is an intervention specialist, leadership and life skills instructor, assistant varsity football coach, and assistant varsity basketball coach. So I'm not going to ask you guys what you do in your spare time, because I don't think there's too much of that. But I thought we would, you know, okay, we'll begin with Jacob. And so you're currently teaching math, you're coaching the sports here. Can you tell us a little bit about your path into education and coaching?
Yeah, you know, I grew up with, had a lot of teachers and coaches in my family that, you know, impacted me and really invested in me. And that kind of stuck with me, and I just always enjoyed being a part of math and problem solving, but I also loved being around sports, so I kind of wanted to make the best of both worlds. And, you know, being a part of a team, you know, a teaching team, football, basketball team, that struck me. And, you know, teaching and coaching lets me do both. You know, I can see the students grow in the classroom and on the quarter field, so that was very important to me.
What made you want to come to Marion Local to begin your career?
Well, at Marion Local, I just think there's, you know, people here have a real sense of pride in everything that we do, whether it's academics, athletics, you know, or any other activities outside of the classroom. You know, the people in the community really support the kids. So, you know, I saw that kind of from afar. So I just really wanted to get in and start investing in that.
And let's all, you know, math can be challenging for many students. What are some ways you try to make math more engaging or relatable in your classroom?
You know, I try to make it more about, you know, the problem solving and understanding the concept rather than just memorizing certain steps that, you know, take to get to a problem. And, you know, obviously related to real life things, you know, sports, money, you know, financial decisions, whatever that may be, just so they can see the purpose of what they're doing.
And, you know, as both a teacher and a coach, you see students in rather different settings. Do those roles complement each other at all?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're kind of, they're connected a lot in a lot of ways. You know, classroom and athletics, you're trying to help kids grow, overcome challenges, build confidence. You know, sometimes a student might struggle in math, but gain confidence through another activity, whether it may be sports, you know, and hopefully that carries over into the classroom. So being able to see students in both those lights are very important to me.
And, you know, you're being interviewed alongside an intervention specialist. How important is collaboration between teachers when it comes to helping these students to succeed?
Oh, well, you know, collaboration means a lot. You know, me and Mr. DeLauder here work together every day. You know, every student learns differently. You know, something I might tell a student doesn't really hit home, but something he could, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, just always, you know, we're always talking to each other about, you know, students that, you know, have issues and how we can accomplish them. And because at the end of the day, we want to see every student succeed.
And, you know, as we also, you know, talk about the why it's important for teachers to also coach. Obviously, a lot of teachers do that.
Right. Right. You know, I think it's common, you know, maybe less common now than probably has been in, a few years. But I think coaching gives me another way to connect with my students. You know, in the classroom, you see them academically, but athletics, you're going to see their leadership, their work ethic, you know, just how they interact with their teammates and their peers. And, you know, that relationship between, you know, whether it's a student or a player, you know, that can carry over, and the connection you build in and out of the classroom can be very important.
And then, you know, we also ask about the lessons you hope your athletes take away from playing for your, not just the outcome of the games, right?
Right. You know, at the end of the day, wins and losses are going to fade away, and you're going to remember some and you're going to forget a lot of them. But I think it's important to build those habits they had in the game, and the importance of hard work and accountability and being a good teammate. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you work hard, treat people the right way, learn to handle some adversity, because we're not all going to be perfect, you know, and then I feel like we've kind of done our job.
And then what stood out to you about the culture and the expectations around athletics at Marion Local?
One thing that stands out to me is just how committed kids are. You know, they just want to do things the right way. There's a lot of pride in this school and community, and people support the students and everything they do. You know, like last Saturday night, we had a big crowd of Vandalia Butler. That was awesome to see. You know, and as a teacher and coach here in this community, you know, just the support makes a huge difference and for us.
And then, you know, we can talk about what sports teaches students that the classroom sometimes just can't.
You know, I think it's hard sometimes to, you know, have adversity in the classroom. Sometimes, you know, we have a lot of really smart kids at Marion Local, and you might not have a lot of adverse situations. But in sports, you know, you're going to face setbacks. You're going to miss a shot. You're going to have a tough loss. Things aren't going your way. And, you know, learning how to respond to these moments is something that I think athletics can sometimes teach more than the classroom might can.
And what's it meant to you personally to become part of the Marion Local community?
Oh, well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I'd just like to thank the community. You know, I'm not from the area, you know, not the immediate area, not a Marion Local grad. You know, they welcome us with open arms, just the way they support the students and the school. You know, we're building a new addition to the school. That's awesome. You know, they show up to the games, parents supporting their kids, and community members just really want to see young people grow. And that's just very nice to see.
All right. Coach and teacher, thanks. Yeah. Good talking to you. We're going to move on here. We're going to talk to Leighton now. He's intervention specialist, does leadership, life skills. He's a varsity football and basketball coach. So, of course, you know Jacob very well, right? You guys work together a lot, I imagine.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, then, let's talk about how you got started in education and coaching. What brought you to Marion?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually not from the area either. I grew up about 4 hours south of here. So
where at?
Ironton, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, down in the hills. You know, for me, it was all about finding the right fit. And all of my core values, what I believe in, fit Marion extremely well. It's a great place to raise a family, phenomenal place to teach at. We have great administration, great leadership here. And I knew, you know, for me, I felt like I could fit right in.
And you know, you talk about your role as intervention specialist. You're helping students overcome some challenges. So what is that like, and why is that so important in school?
Yeah, I mean, Jacob kind of hit it. I mean, every kid learns differently, right? And it, like all of us learn differently. And we just want every kid to reach their full potential. So it's my job to help do that, whether it's through differentiation, modification, accommodation, you know, all those buzzwords. We just want to give every kid, you know, the best education they can possibly get.
And, you know, you teach leadership classes too. What are some of the core habits and ideas you try to get them to develop in that course?
Yeah, absolutely. So leadership and life skills are two classes that we kind of created out of the dirt. And we kind of just wanted to give kids a class that could really give them something beyond Marion Local. You know, you can take all these leadership aspects that we talk about, whether it's commitment, discipline, accountability, and that goes way further than, you know, a lot of the lessons that we do teach in school. Not that they're bad, but we can take these even further.
And then we can talk about you interact with students in class and athletics. You got two sports. So how do those experiences all work together to shape and influence the youngsters?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the pieces of accountability, the pieces of discipline, they don't turn off just when you leave school, or they don't turn off when you leave work one day. You know, you got to go home and be a great husband. You got to go home and be a great dad. And, you know, sports are a microcosm of life. So you got to be great in the classroom. You got to be a rock star at practice. And we just want to see that continue on and off the court, in and out of the classroom. We just want them to build those habits now that they can take when they start their own families one day.
And sports certainly is a microcosm of life, because look at the expressions we use. How often do you hear that we got to get a full court press going here, or come on now, we're in the ninth inning, or hey, this is getting down to the fourth quarter, let's go. I mean, we always use those sports euphemisms, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously Marion's got a reputation for strong expectations and winning. What have you noticed that about those standards that exist here in the programs?
Yeah, I think everyone's just pulling on the same end of the rope. Everybody's all in it together. There's not a lot of me people here. You know, everybody is wants to be a Flyer. You know, like Jacob said, you look up in the crowd at Vandalia Butler this past weekend, and it was just so neat to see one community just together, all cheering for the same thing. And, you know, again, sports are a microcosm, but it's really that way academically, athletically. We just have great people here.
And, you know, when the athletes come through and play football and basketball, what lessons are you hoping is going to stay with them long after their playing days are over?
Well, I think the first thing is we got to understand the ball is going to stop bouncing one day. You know, we're not coaching many professional athletes. We want to coach guys that are going to be great husbands one day. Great dads, and they just take everything that we teach them, you know, into that, you know, showing up on time, doing the right thing even when you're tired, doing, you know, life's not easy, life's going to punch in the face, but we want to prepare them for that.
That's
for
right.
its time.
Sometimes you have to get, like you said, you get tired and you have to go, you know what, I'll rest when I'm dead. I got to get this stuff done. And you have to pretty much, I think, have that attitude. And so, you know, years down the road, what do you hope former students and athletes remember most about their time here?
I hope they just have great pride in being a Flyer. We've kind of been talking in the last week to play like a Flyer. And, you know, what does that mean? And it's everything we just talked about, that you have great pride in what you're doing. You know, you go home, you create a great family. You know, you have you really love what we're doing here. There's around us, outside of this bubble, maybe there's a lot of division, but we want everyone to stay united here and just have, you know, immense pride in what we're doing.
You guys ready for Friday and ready for the weekend and everything, right?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we've got a couple more days to prepare here, but, you know, it's an exciting time, and, you know, we'll hope we'll be ready and play well.
There you have it.
Yeah, let it rip.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we don't always want to take it for granted when area teams go to state, but sometimes it's hard not to, because there are so darn many who do. So isn't that neat, though? Not every community can say that.
Yep, just enjoy the moment.
That's right.
Smell the roses.
You got that right.
Right, yeah, you know, I agree. You know, like St. Henry girls going there last weekend, you know, sometimes, you know, like you said, you do take it for granted, but, you know, just seeing the pride that they had, we're hoping we can do the same thing.
And I'm sure a lot of it, it's not so much that we take it for granted, it's the expectations, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know what everyone's capable of, and we see it from there. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Great to have
thank
you.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back here as we are at Marion Local Schools. Thank you to Hall Brothers, Galp Pharmacy, St. Henry Bank, and Homan Incorporated. We have Matt, Greg, FFA officers here to talk ag and the FFA. So let's begin with Greg. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
How are we doing today?
Good, good. So if you want to share with us, I mean, obviously I know you, but maybe not everyone does. Can you share with us your own background and what got you to where you are today here?
Yeah, my name is Matt Elsall. I'm the ag...
Oh. Bad,
you're fine. The agricultural science instructor here, along with Greg Bruns. I grew up in Shelby County, Ohio, on a grain farm, and I've been teaching here at Marion Local for 11 years.
All right, time goes by, doesn't it? Overall, yeah. You know, when you kind of look at this program, how is it good for the students and for the kids?
Well, one thing that really drew me to ag education was how multifaceted it is. So these guys, as officers, have really dedicated themselves to. You know, developing programming, carrying out logistics of activity, community service, strengthening agriculture, and really trying to help out an industry as well as grow themselves, you know, as people.
That's fantastic. And so you have brought some people, you know, with you that are part of that program. So we'll give everybody a chance to talk a little bit. Start with you. Share with us your name, what grade you're in.
My name is Wyatt Fleck. I'm currently a senior at Marion Local.
How long have you been a part of FFA?
I've been a 4-year member and 2-year officer.
Oh, right. What got you into it to begin with? Was there any kind of a family tradition?
Or? So start off a little bit about my background. I grew up on a grain and hog farm just east of Chickasaw, Ohio. And that kind of started with the whole agricultural side. And then once I got into high school, it was kind of a family tradition. All my aunts and uncles were in it, so it was just kind of fall in line with them.
Excellent. So when you look back on kind of your memories of being in the FFA, what are some things that stand out, some experiences you've had, and tell us, like, what's next in your future?
So some memories I've had is last night we had our chapter banquet, and I wrote down, we got asked that same question. I said, serving on the officer team and building a camaraderie ship with fellow members that have the same core beliefs that I do is to grow agriculture, maybe not with farm kids, but kids that may not have an agriculture background. And that there has helped me build, like, that's probably one of my favorite memories, is building that camaraderie ship with my classmates and showing, you know, me being a senior officer, showing the freshmen what it's like. It's not just... The core is agriculture and FFA, but there's so many different opportunities around the FFA that you can learn different things. And the FFA actually helped me find out what I want to do after high school is I want to go into full-time firefighting.
Okay, excellent. What made you kind of go in that direction?
That started off by building some friendships in the FFA. One of my fellow officers, Aaliyah Pullman, she got me on to the local volunteer fire department. And from there, we started discussing, like, what we wanted to do just over just our officer meetings, just chatting after. And she kind of helped me guide me in the direction of going full time. And I really looked into it and found that I want to do that.
That's neat that you got to do that. And also, when you look back on your time with FFA, were you able to go to some of the conventions, like state and national? Right?
Yeah, I've been to national twice and state twice, and I will be going my third time this year to get my gold secretary book.
That's great. That's great. It's fun to go to Indianapolis, isn't it?
Yes, it is a blast.
It's for sure. So you have another couple of people with you, and can you share with us your name and your grade and what your FFA experience is?
So my name is Michaela Osterl, and I'm a senior. I've been at FFA the last 4 years. I've served as the chapter reporter, treasurer, and this year I was vice president. So unlike Wyatt and Elsaw, I didn't have necessarily a background with agriculture before I joined FFA. What really wanted me to join FFA was my involvement in eighth grade with his, like, intro to ag class. So that's what really inspired me to join FFA, is just enjoying that a lot.
When you look back on it, what are some of the memories you have, friendships you've made, fundraisers you probably have gotten to do, right?
So I really enjoyed, like Wyatt, going to convention. I've gone to national 2 years and I've gone to state for 4 years. And then I really enjoyed going on all the, we do a Martin Luther King Jr. Day, President's Day, or Martin Luther King Jr. Day tour, like an ag tour. And we took one at Unique Roots in Salina. And that's where I really started to also gain my love for plants, which is has inspired me to for my career decision to go to Ohio State in Worcester to study greenhouse and nursery management. So FFA has also had that impact on me of my career choice. So.
That sounds like a fun, you know, career that that's going to get a lot of work, right? Greenhouse, nursery. I mean, you think about places that do their landscaping and the horticulture, et cetera. So you'll be busy, right?
I'm very excited.
You should be. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's meet our another student here. Share with us your name and your memories of FFA.
So I'm Megan Holman, a junior at Marion Local. I've always enjoyed FFA. This is my third year in FFA. I grew up milking dairy cows, and now I just feed calves on our family farm out, right outside of Chickasaw. I've been an officer for the past, last year I was historian, this year I was the reporter, and for the upcoming school year, I'll be the Marion Local FFA president. Some things that I enjoyed was definitely national and state convention. Those were really fun. I'm excited for this upcoming state convention because I get my state degree and get recognized for my Gold Reporter's book.
That's really neat. And, you know, for you, obviously, when you go national, we tell people, too, that there's a lot of great things about FFA, but that's almost worth it right there, right? The national convention is a blast, isn't it?
Yeah.
They still do concerts when you're there? Yeah, usually they have that, so might as well. You're in a football stadium, right? It's a good time to have a concert. For you, what are your future plans?
I'm not for sure. I might want to go into the agricultural field, but I'm leaning towards medical field.
Oh, right.
Type of nurse, but I still enjoy an FFA and agriculture. Always nice. Means a lot to me.
Let's, you know, kind of move on. Let's talk to Matt one more time, if you would. And, you know, obviously you brought three FFA people with you. I'm sure you'd agree they're very well spoken. You can certainly tell that that they've worked really hard on this. And sometimes it's like you know somebody's been through one of these programs because they are so well spoken.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the number one pieces of feedback we get when we have our banquet, like last night. Is they get up there and they do opening ceremonies and they look really comfortable and they can articulate and speak fluently and be in front of a group. And it's really cool to see that transition from a student as a freshman, you know, getting more involved and kind of committing to bettering themselves through being an officer or doing different activities in the FFA, even if they're not an officer. And then seeing kind of like the finished product, you know, they're a senior, they're up there, they're confident. And they're kind of displaying their skills to the community and their parents.
True. And this is, you know, obviously whether it's, you know, FFA or a lot of the other clubs, this is good, you know, for people for a lot of things. Maybe they're in athletics, but they want to do something else too. And also, let's face it, right? Some of us, when we grew up, we were not what we would call athletically gifted, right? So we found other things to do. And so there's that aspect of it too, that there's always something extracurricular to do at school.
Right. Yeah, we're lucky to live in an area where our students, they're very hardworking, they're dedicated, you know, they're either working or they are playing sports, you know, sometimes multiple sports. They want to get involved in, you know, the choir, the school play, different types of extracurriculars, and we try to be as malleable as possible so that those students can still be involved in the FFA. You know, we've had three sport athletes be the chapter president, so really trying to cater to what our student base is and trying to do the greatest good for the most amount of students that want to take our courses and be in our program is important to us.
And most importantly, still get that really cool jacket, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And they haven't changed much over the years, right?
Right. They, I think when I was in high school a while ago, they switched from like a purpley blue to the actual like official standard blue. So every once in a while you see one of those old jackets.
Yeah, you do. Can you still get yours on?
I can.
Yeah,
I'm
impressed. That's fantastic.
You.
Yeah. I salute him. I know a lot of people, not a chance.
Yeah. So, I had to work on that, but yes,
that's all right.
It fits now again. Yeah.
If it's on, it's on. You win.
Yes.
So that's pretty neat. Also, though, I imagine for you, when we get to this, you know, time of year, maybe a little bittersweet because you're going to have to say goodbye, right? They're going to graduate and, you
yeah.
know.
So two of these guys being seniors, they're, yeah. you know, officially done with their officership and we're on to a new team. We definitely appreciate you know, all the work that they put in the past 3 years. They spend countless hours going to meetings, planning for activities, filling out applications for, you know, for us to submit at the state level and national level. And, you know, we hope that those experiences have kind of helped prepare them, organize their lives, their future careers. And we're very grateful to them.
And you said about 11 years for you now?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, over that time, have you heard back from some of the former students that just want to catch up with you and let you know what they're up to?
Yeah, every once in a while we have that. We every November do an activity where we actually call some of our recent alumni. They come to a meeting and they get to talk to the students. That way they can kind of share their experience in the FFA, maybe spark interest in a younger member and kind of do a round robin style. Sometimes we do a game with that where they have to like answer quiz questions about, you know, the different alumni that come in. And that's a cool event that we do that kind of helps us check in and see what they're doing. Every once in a while we get some that are involved in our Ag Boosters group and we'll come and support. We had one last night come to the banquet and buy a pie. He owns his own business now, and it's just really cool to see kind of the full circle effect of it all.
Those banquets are fun because there's awards, there's officerships, and as parents, there's always good food.
Yes, yeah, we had
no shortage of that.
Fried chicken and roast beef last night. So it was delicious. Yes,
those were the days, right? That's some good stuff. And also, you know, for you, I'm sure you knew many of them when they were freshmen. You've seen the growth, right?
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things that you see it, you know, 4 years is a decent amount of time. So it is definitely slow and steady. But when you have big events like last night and you can see kind of that as a moment in time, you know, from one banquet to the next, you can kind of compartmentalize and see that growth in a major way.
You can. And also wanted to talk about, I mean, you know, like the fundraiser, right? How many of us over the years have bought FFA-related products? What are some of the ones you sell here at Marion Local for your FFA?
So we have three major fundraisers throughout the year. The biggest one is at the county fair. We have the pork stand that we do with the St. Henry FFA.
Yes.
Shout out to the St. Henry FFA chapter. We do that over the whole week, and we split those profits. We sell pork patties, pork loin sandwiches, pulled pork nachos, pulled pork sandwich, all pork hot dogs. So that's a great event for us that takes a lot of work. And then we have two other fundraising events. We sell cheese in the fall, just cheese products from Pearl Valley Cheese. And then we sell strawberries in the spring for all of our jam and pie makers.
Yes, and I'm sure that you know they're lined up to order, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And I know some of the other FFAs, because some of the stuff we've bought over the years, some of them do fruit. Some of them do those turkey ribs that you try to stock them up in your freezer, right? So you have them all year. And we're always glad to do it because these are things we're going to use anyways, and it supports a great cause.
Yes. The past 2 years of the banquet, we've had turkey ribs. So when we switched it up this year, we got a little bit of caught a little ire from some of the people.
Oh,
They'll just have to come back next year, and maybe we'll switch back to turkey ribs.
But you can't go wrong with chicken and roast beef, though, right?
You know? It's classic, yeah.
Yeah, not a problem there. So I want to thank all of you. It just looks like you're all going to do great things, and I think that's what it's all about, right? Give you that advantage. Certainly when you go to apply for college or anything, you kind of think about, like, what you can put on there, right, to stand out. And they look for things like this, don't they, like FFA and other extracurriculars.
Absolutely. Yeah, it shows you know, those interviewers, or it shows those applicants, those employers that, you know, these kids are dedicated to an organization. They can be part of a team. They can be collaborators. So
yeah, and some of them, we've even heard stories of a lot of employers, et cetera, companies that look at an application and they see Mercer County, and there's some meaning behind that. That's somebody that they want to hire. They understand.
Definitely. You know, there's a long-standing tradition here of agriculture, especially here in the county, being the top producing agricultural product county here in the state. So that carries some weight.
Yeah, that it does. So for you, you know, what we can talk about, like everybody, there's a school calendar. Is there some kind of an FFA calendar? I mean, as we talk in here in March, what you're getting ready for versus what you might be up to over the summer and leading into the fall?
Yeah, here in the back half of the year, we obviously have state convention that's coming up. That'll be April 30th and May 1st, so we'll have some students going to that, getting their state degrees, some of them going across stage to get their officer book awards, just like these guys. We also do a trash pickup as a community service. We'll still have two more meetings till the end of the school year. We also have a cookout that we do with our Ag Booster group in July. As well as a bunch of other contests. So we have an agronomy team, a floriculture team, a general livestock team, and a dairy judging team that'll all be competing as well.
That sounds like that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Right? Usually is, right? So, yes. And I think another thing we can do, we'll talk with our students, you know, one more time. Overall, if we have people listening that might be younger or, you know, they might think they missed their chance to do FFA because they weren't in it from the beginning, would you maybe remind them it's not too late? And would you recommend that they do that?
Yeah, I 100%. When I joined our officer team, we always have an interview process. And one of the things I always pushed for was participation. We strive to get more numbers every year, participation, and we do multiple things throughout the elementary, the middle school. We're in the community, like our pork stand. We're always pushing that. There's always something you can do. We work with the Marion Young Farmers a lot, the Marion Ag Boosters. That's one way that, you know, maybe you're out of high school, in the college, maybe graduated from college. That's how you can help our chapters, you know, like Marion, St. Henry, Coldwater. They all have their own ag boosters, or they have an organization that helps support it. And that's how you can help us and get an experience with that.
All right. And you know, for you, share with us too, you know, kind of your opinion on that, that you would encourage people to join. I'm sure over the time you've done this, you've made some friends you wouldn't have had without FFA involvement.
Oh, definitely. Like my friend right here next to me, Megan, for sure. Like, I've gotten so close to her through FFA easily. But I think for membership, I just think if there's anybody out there that you're on the fence between doing FFA and not, just do it. Because I feel like if I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Like, it has such an impact on your life that you wouldn't think it would. It's great. It's great.
Sure. You've also got a chance to meet and make some friends from other schools and other areas too, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, going to state and national convention, you meet people that are from different states than you. And, like, that bond just while you're there is so crazy, and you can like get their phone number or something and still have a contact with them.
That's for sure. And how about for you also?
Yeah, I would just say, like, try new things. I, going into FFA, I didn't know what I was all going to do. I, like, for example, a CDE, I tried dairy judging my freshman year. I was so glad I did, because I enjoyed doing that, learning new things about dairy cows and how to judge them. And yeah, just also like being an officer, I was on the fence trying it, and I'm so glad I did, because I've gained a whole lot of new skills, and yeah.
Which officer positions did you hold?
Sophomore year, I was the historian. Then this year, I was the reporter, and for the upcoming school year, I'm like the president for the Maryland Local FFA.
Very nice. Yeah. That was that pretty neat to get to be the
president? Yeah,
I'm sure your family was proud.
Yeah, it was definitely an accomplishment. I felt very proud, but also kind of like nervous, because it's a big role, but I have people who can help me and good advisors, so.
That's neat. Yeah. So again, you know, when you look back on it, you know, I'd say a lot of friends. Also, in judging cows, for people that have never been involved in that, I mean, what are some of the things you look at? Because with us, someone like me, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to probably look at some cows and say, well, that one's dirty, that one's clean, and I don't know if I'm going to go any farther than that. So what are you looking for?
Well, so we have like these invitationals, and we get like, during school, we have like these lessons, and we watch these videos. You look at their like hooves, their udders, their like teat placements, their like hips, ribs, all that.
Now, do the cows mind when you check this out? I mean, when you say, like, check the hooves, I'm like, is that okay? Is it going to kick me? What's going on here?
You just look at them. You don't really, like, go up and touch them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they're in, like, a arena, and you just look at
it. You see your leg. Come here. Yeah. That does sound fun.
Yeah, right? It definitely is, yeah.
All right, I want to talk with you, you know, Kenan, one more time. You know, certainly thank you for coming, for bringing students. It seems they really tell the story, don't they, their own story about these things.
Yeah, so with as many things as are available to us through national and state FFA, you know, the various contests, the various types of activities we do, they can really find their own niche, and, you know, they can specialize in contests. They can specialize in trying to do leadership activities and do that with the chapter. We have some members that really just like the service aspect of it and like going out and doing community service with us. So they can really get to choose your own path and pick your own adventure.
All right. Does sound like, again, a lot of fun. And for you, I wanted to talk about also, you mentioned that, you know, you do FFA. Is that mainly what you're involved in school? What else do you, what all do you do here, a typical day for you?
So as the FFA advisor and agricultural science teacher,
gotcha.
I'm teaching classes through the day. I teach mechanical principles, food science, ag business with my co-teacher, Greg Bruns, livestock science, agronomy, and then an eighth grade class called Intro to Ag.
You know, would it be fair to say that whether somebody wants an ag background or not, that those are pretty good classes to take? I mean, those sound like things we should all know.
Right. So, you know, just speaking in one aspect for our eighth graders, we set that class up. It's one quarter, and we kind of take this frame of mind of, you know, if they were to never take another ag class again, what is like practical consumer knowledge that they would want to have? So, you know, one of our mission or one of our goals is definitely to try to lessen the gap between producers, the ag industry, and consumers, because, you know, that's the vital relationship. We have people making our products, processing our products, and then we need buyers, right? Otherwise, those industries wouldn't exist.
That's true. We can probably ask our own kids, you know, where does milk come from? And if they answer Walmart, then you know you got some work to do here. You got to right. do a little better than that, right?
We put a survey out.
Yeah.
See how we're doing in our agricultural advocacy knowledge.
And you also had talked about you teach like food science, you said. What mm-hmm. what kind of subject matters do you get into? That one sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, so the food science class is kind of a basic chemistry class to start out with. We look at sensory evaluation and like different aspects of food, what goes into like how we make food decisions. And then we start to get into the periodic table, talking about how like energy transfer and different types of energy. And then eventually that leads us to different food components. So water, sugar, starches, lipids and fats, proteins, vitamins and minerals, and then how those are all used in cooking. So kids definitely get to eat their fair share of food. And it's kind of a basic chemistry intro to food course.
It's a good thing I'm not in that class. You probably get a lot of me saying, I need another one. I got to retaste this. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
always get that. Have to remind the students we have a budget.
Yes. Yeah,
we have a budget we have to stick to. So
I hear you. Well, and it's funny, years ago, it was at the Mercer County Fairgrounds. They had like a rib off and they brought me in as one of the judges to judge the ribs and the sauce. And boy, they didn't have to twist my arm very hard for that. So it's fun to work with food.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
It was. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I did feel that I might need to try this one again. Let me see what we got here. But also, you know, when you teach them perhaps that business, you know, aspect of it, like how many jobs they might not think of as being ag-related, but they are, right? Somebody can make deliveries. They can get into sales if they want to.
Right. Yeah, so Wyatt here is in the ag business class. And yeah. We've been exploring business finance, and then looking at kind of our ag industries as a whole, even had some local business owners come in and talk to you guys about starting your own business and kind of what business structures look like.
That's for sure. And I would also mention Watt's got a nice Hall Brothers shirt on there. Faithful sponsor, WCSM yeah. Radio. For
when you
many
said
years.
That, he pointed to it.
Yes. Yeah. And we thank you for that. We thank all of you for being here. It's been a great week. We started off with Mr. Pullman, the superintendent. We had Jenny Dippold and Jordan at Trebue, guidance counselors, Ryan Goldschmidt, the treasurer. We had teachers and assistant coaches of Layden and Jacob. And then we just did this with the FFA. Now, tomorrow, we'll be back. Thursday, we'll start off with Rod Plyman and Cody Smith, teachers, and also junior high football. Technology coordinator, Michelle Mesher. The art teachers, Carrie Pranger and Kim Bruns. Athletic director, Dan Koenig. I mean, we got to talk to him, right? We can't be here for a week and not talk to Mr. Koenig. Then we're also going to talk about the Scholastic Bowl, which is always a lot of fun. And then Jerry Everman and Ted Heitkamp are going to talk about bus driving. I'll try to be nice and not ask them about Friday. That was some kind of experience. And I don't know about you. I have never seen wind quite like that. I've seen wind storms, Matt, but I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like Friday was.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely unique. And uniquely timed,
yes.
With the releasing of the buses and figuring out how that's all going to work. So, you know, you just kind of hope that everyone's okay and you'll handle whatever property issues there are. So
that's what you do, yeah. And hope for not that again. That was and it wasn't done with us. Came back on Saturday, and you know,
right. It was just making sure that we were going to take whatever lessons we were going to take away from that storm and make sure yes. that we were going to apply them for the next one.
The only lesson I learned was I really don't like windy days. That's, and where'd my garbage can go, right? A lot of people have that question. So, hey, thanks again, all of you, for being here.